Okay, the time now is 2:03 PM. This is the July 28th meeting of the Freedom of Information Commission. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
We're ready.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Owen Egan, and I am the chairman of the Freedom of Information Commission. This is the regular meeting of the commission, July 28th, 2021. Before we begin, I will take a roll call in alphabetical order so that the record reflects who is participating today. When I say your name, please indicate that you are present. Mr. Barry. Mr. Chavez.
Here.
Mr. Einhorn. Mr. Einhorn.
Here.
Mr. Tedeschi.
Here.
Mr. Hankin.
Here.
Mr. Shaw. Mr. Streeter.
Here.
Mr. Winkler.
Here.
And myself, Chairman Owen Egan. Thank you. This meeting is open to the public and is being conducted solely through the use of electronic equipment due to the COVID-19 pandemic. It will be recorded in its entirety. For everyone who is participating in today's meeting, please remember to identify yourself first for the recording each time that you are called upon to speak. All participants are expected to conduct themselves in a respectful manner at all times and not to interrupt the commission deliberations. If the commission believes any person's conduct is disruptive, that person will be placed on mute at the discretion of the chairman. Further disruption may lead to that person's removal from the telephonic meeting. When the commission conducts a vote, it will be by roll call. I will conduct the roll. The first item is consideration of the minutes of the commission's regular meeting of July 14th, 2021. Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. I move adoption of the commission's minutes of the regular meeting of July 14th, 2021.
Thank you.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Thank you. Is there discussion? All in favor? I'm going to take a roll call. Mr. Chavez?
Abstained because I was not present for the July 14th meeting.
Thank you. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Tedeschi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw? Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler?
Yes.
And Owen Egan is yes. It passes unanimously with one abstention. Next, we will consider the hearing officer's reports. The hearing officer's reports are publicly accessible on our website at www.ct.gov/FOI through links on the agenda for today's meeting. I will call the docket. If you are a party and wish to address the commission on a particular docket number, please let me know when I call it and we will mark it ready. We will take up the cases in the order that they are called. First is docket number FIC 2019-0549, William Holmes versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection et al. Are you there, Mr. Holmes? Mr. Holmes, are you there?
Mr. Holmes is not participating, Mr. Chairman. Holly Murphy here.
Okay, thank you. I think that matter has been withdrawn. Perhaps we'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. As you mentioned, it was a withdrawal and a dismissal. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Motion's been made and seconded by Commissioner Winkler. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Chavez.
Yes.
Mr. Einhorn.
Yes.
Mr. Fizeshi.
Yes.
Mr. Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
Mr. Winkler.
Yes.
Myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is FIC 2020-0086, David Taylor versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction et al. Are you there, Mr. Taylor? Mr. Taylor, are you there?
Mr. Chairman, it's Colleen Murphy again. Mr. Taylor is not participating.
Okay, is there anyone there from the State of Connecticut?
Yes, Attorney Jennifer Lepore.
Would you like us to act on this, or would you like to be heard?
No need to be heard. I urge adoption.
Okay. I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. At the request of the respondent, and since the complainant chose not to participate, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second it.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Fuzeci?
Yes.
Mr. Hankin?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2020-0287, Albert Farah versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Corrections. Is there anyone here on that matter? Mr. Farah?
Yes.
Okay, would you like to be heard, sir?
Yes.
All right, we'll mark that ready, Mr. Farah. Is there anyone here from the State of Connecticut?
Yes, this is Attorney Lori McCurdy.
Thank you, Attorney McCurdy. We'll mark that ready. This docket number FIC 2020-0292, Christine Wakefield versus Chief Dayville Fire Department and Dayville Fire District. This was withdrawn. Is there anyone here on this matter?
Mr. Chairman, we do not have anyone indicated as participating on this matter either. Again, Colleen Murphy here.
Thank you. I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. As you mentioned, withdrawal and a dismissal. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Einhorn? Mr. Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Fuzeci?
Yes.
Mr. Hankin?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler? And myself, Chairman Owen Egan, yes. We have passed the next is docket number FIC 2020-0325. Donald Carr versus Registrar, State of Connecticut, Central Connecticut University, et al. Anyone here on that matter?
Yes, this is Mary Linehan from the Attorney General's Office, representing Central Connecticut State University.
Thank you. Do you wish to be heard, or would you like us to act on this?
We have no objection to the proposed decision. I'm just here in case I was not sure whether the complainant would be there.
Is Donald Carr there, please? Donald Carr? I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. This was a failure to appear and a dismissal. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Fuzeci?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. All right.
Thank you.
We move on. Before we consider these cases, I will ask the Executive Director and General Counsel, Colleen Murphy, to please make some general announcements.
Sure. As has been stated previously, this matter is being recorded in its entirety. There's no need to ask for a recording, and it will be available at the Commission and on our website very soon after the meeting. And second, pursuant to our regulations, oral argument is 10 minutes per side, and I'll keep track of that for the party.
Thank you. All right, the only case that's marked ready is FIC 2020-0287, Albert Farah versus Commissioner, Connecticut Department of Correction, et al. Are you there, Mr. Farah?
Yes.
Okay. Are you there, Attorney McCurdy?
Yes.
Okay, so Mr. Farah, would you like to begin?
Yes.
Go ahead, please.
The only thing I want to say is that I'm going to need only part of the video. Actually, I don't want the entirety of the video, just the first five minutes is what I need to hear and see it. I don't need anything else, whatever 20 minutes or 30 minutes it took the video to be taken when I was taken to a hospital too. I just needed five minutes when I was escorted from unit D40, cell 40 to the hospital. So I don't even need outside of the unit.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Farrar. Attorney McCurdy?
Yes, thank you. I ask that the commission adopt the hearing officer's report and find that the video record requested is exempt under section 1-210B18. It provides an exemption for DOC records that the commissioner reasonably believes may result in a safety risk if leaked. The hearing officer's report accurately summarizes the facts and testimony of the case. The FOI request of Mr. Farrar was for a video recording from surveillance cameras inside Osborne Correctional Institution. Testimony from correctional counselor Supervisor Campanelli made clear the commissioner's concerns with releasing such surveillance videos, and this video in particular, because it depicts vulnerabilities within the institution that could be exploited if released. The testimony supports the conclusion that release of the video would pose a safety and security risk, and therefore it is exempt from disclosure. As stated in the report, this finding is consistent with this commission's previous decisions regarding the permissible exemption of surveillance videos from within DOC facilities. Thank you.
Thank you. Do any of the commissioners have any questions of Mr. Farrar or Attorney McCurdy?
Can I say something?
Hang on a second. Do any of the commissioners have any questions for either Mr. McCurdy or Mr. Farrar?
This is Commissioner Fusashi. I have a similar question.
Go ahead.
My question is, does this the report addressed to the conclusions of the corrections department, did it relate to the 5 minutes that he is seeking, or was it a conclusion that related to the whole video? Was the 5 minutes ever isolated and identified by the complainant? And was it considered as a 5 minute decision as a risk, or as a total point, the total video?
Now, this is Attorney McCurdy. The request for the first 5 minutes was not brought up at the hearing. So the hearing officer was just, and the testimony of Supervisor Campanelli was only addressing the safety risk of the entire video, but it was from his transfer within the facility. And so I believe the safety concerns apply to the entire video. They depict the location of windows, doors, security cameras. It shows staffing within the facility, escort and restraint procedures, etc. So the reasoning I think would apply to the entire video.
So let me just follow up. What would your comments are based on now that those 5 minutes contained all those factors you just described, which is the reasoning of the corrections department for that this could be a safety risk?
Well, just based on the testimony of Counselor Supervisor Campanelli of what this surveillance video inside the facility depicts.
Thank you.
Bye. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Streeter?
Yeah.
I guess my question might be for the hearing officer, Danielle McGee, Attorney McGee. The question is, nothing precludes the complainant from making another request at which hearing he can make the case for the 5 minutes, and then they can review whether that's also a safety risk or not. I think that this, the whole entire video was showing him from the time he was, I have not seen the records. I'm just going from what in the report and from what the attorney counsel has said, that they were going through the entire corrections facility, which is obviously exempt. But nothing would preclude him from having another request for just the specific 5 minutes. And then they could be, they again could waive the exemption based on that. Is that correct, Attorney McGee?
Hi, Danielle McGee, I was the hearing officer in this matter. That's correct, Attorney Streeter, Mr. Streeter, rather. The request that was before me in this hearing was for the entire video. So the testimony that was provided from the witness for the DOC was respect to the entirety of that video. The witness reviewed it, and it was his testimony that there would be a safety and security risk for disclosure of the entire video based on what depicted as to the angles and windows and cells and restraint procedures consistent with what Attorney McCurdy has already indicated. So just to your point, Commissioner Schreiber, if the complainant wished to seek that particular portion of the video, I believe in this case, the testimony was also that it's been preserved, so there's nothing precluding him from making that request and it being analyzed more narrowly to that piece of the video.
Okay, thank you for that. And I think that, you know, based on the testimony that we had from the attorney from for DOC, if during those 5 minutes they were using restraining methods, those probably would be exempt too. So if those showed up there, he may also be denied access to that video on this, under the same exemption. All right, thank you very much. That answers my question.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Chabé. I actually had the same questions that have already been asked and addressed. But if the complainant were to make another request just for those 5 minutes, I guess my question is the videotape being preserved beyond today? I'd ask that of the lawyer for the department.
This is Attorney McCurdy. I am not certain. I would have to check with Counselor Supervisor Campanella. I believe I have them, but I'm not positive, so I don't want to say for sure.
Mr. Chabé, are you satisfied?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's beyond my purview to request that the department retain the video, but I would, you know, my view is that the department may anticipate, given this discussion, another request by the complainant, so it should be preserved. But again, I don't think that I have the, you know, I don't think that's that's beyond my purview, but I would certainly hope the department would be cooperative in that way by preserving
that. That's a very, very good point. Attorney McCurdy, will you relay that information, please?
Absolutely, yes. If we still have the video, then I will ensure that it...
Well, you must still have it. They could have ruled against you when I ordered it produced. So you must still have it. Am I correct?
Yes, you're correct. Yes.
All right, thank you. Are there any other questions of the commissioners? Okay, Mr. Farrar, you wanted to say something?
Yeah. The 5 minutes, actually, I don't know for how long is the time when they came and picked me up and put the handcuffs on me and stepping out of the unit. What I'm requesting is actually between the couple minutes that the officers arrived to the unit and removed me from the cell and walking towards the front of the unit. So it's not even gonna be in front of the unit door. So it's no security or any risk at that point because I'm not requesting anything that's walking out of the unit, going to the hallway, and going to the hospital too.
Okay.
So I have not been able to see the video to actually have a conclusion that how much I need it, but cannot be more than 5 minutes.
So So you heard the discussion. You're welcome to file, if we rule against you, which it sounds like we're going to, you're welcome to file again for the first 5 minutes. And we've asked them to preserve the tape. Attorney McCurdy is will send the message to the powers that be, but she can't guarantee right now that it's secure and that it won't be erased.
Okay. It should be secure because the decision wasn't taken until now. So I don't see why they have to destroy it.
Right, but if we make a decision now in their favor, then there's a possibility, I guess, that it could be destroyed. But Attorney McCurdy is going to send the message back to them that you will be filing something, sounds like very soon, to ask for the first 5 minutes of the tape. That doesn't mean you're going to get it. They may or may not.
Yeah, but
I would be surprised if they don't preserve it. That would be a concern, but it doesn't mean you're going to get it. So they may have the same objection.
Yeah, the longest I get the fair chance to submit the FOI again to ask for. So that's what I got to do.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Are there any further questions or comments for the commissioners? I'd entertain a motion then.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
I second that, Commissioner.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Mr. Chavez.
Aye. Yes.
Mr. Einhorn.
Yes.
Mr. Fideshi.
Yes, based on the discussion we just had.
Thank you. Mr. Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
Mr. Winkler.
Yes.
And Owen Egan, yes. So it passes unanimously. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Attorney McCurdy. All right, Colleen, we're moving on to item number 3, consideration of the respondent's petition for reconsideration dated July 7th in docket number FIC 2019-0750, Kevin Rennie versus Deputy General Counsel of Governor Ned Lamont.
Hi, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Colleen Murphy. I don't know if we just wanted to see if the parties are present on the call, but the matter is treated as non-arguable. Generally, the parties are notified of that.
I can check. Are the parties present? Is Kevin Rennie present?
Yes.
And is Attorney Miller present? Or Dave?
Yes, I'm present. Thank you.
Okay. Both are present.
Excuse me. Do I supposed to be in this hearing?
Oh, no, Mr. Ferrer, you're all set, but thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You're welcome to listen, yes. Mr. Ferrer. As a member of the public, you're welcome to listen, but your hearing is over.
No, I don't need it.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Have a good
day. Take care. Bye.
Thank you again. It's Colleen Murphy. And you have before you the petition for reconsideration filed by the Office of Governor, Kevin Rennie versus Deputy General Counsel, Office of Governor Ned Lamont. It's 2019-750. You'll recall that the commission recently decided this matter back on June 23rd, 2021. You should also have Attorney Rennie's opposition to that petition. The petitioner seeks reconsideration under 4-181A of the Uniform Administrative Procedure Act, claiming that there was an error of fact or law that needs to be corrected and that there's other good cause for reconsideration. The substance of the petition focuses on whether there was testimony of negotiations relative to pending economic proposals and or initiatives that the state was pursuing, and also on remarks made by the hearing officer. You'll recall from that meeting as to the lack of testimony concerning FAME, wherein she indicated that had there been evidence of negotiations, the decision might have been different. The petitioner outlines a number of instances when the state's witness at hearings simply stated that there were negotiations and urges the commission to reconsider its decision on the basis of those statements. In my view, focusing on the word negotiations in this way is misplaced for a number of reasons. First, when you take into account the totality of the hearing officer's remarks during the meeting, discussion regarding negotiations, she clearly qualified what type of evidence was lacking. You do have, that's quoted in the petition for you, but just the part that I might like to have you focus on is where the hearing officer said, I think that if there had been testimony that there were pending economic appeals very similar to the first five initiative, I don't think it even needed to rise to the level of the first five initiative, but if there had been evidence that there were, that the state was actually in negotiations with the company, I think that we might have gotten a different decision. So I think she was putting some qualifications on that reference to negotiations. So I think that that's an important point here because the petition so focuses on the fact that Attorney Delena made reference to negotiations, but the petition doesn't reference any evidence in the record of the sort that the hearing officer was talking about at the commission meeting. Second, use of that term negotiations, I think, really implies that there's a two-way street, that there are two or more parties are negotiating, and no evidence has produced in regard to that. And third, I think that the focus on negotiations really is misguided because it's not proof of the elements of the exemption at issue. You remember, we talked a lot about what the exemption required, mainly that commercial or financial information here, the names or identifying information of companies at issue was, quote, given to the state, and that it was done so, quote, in confidence, which are the words of the statute. And so I don't think that negotiations really fits into proving that exemption in this case. So the information proffered in the petition, I don't think lends greater weight to the exemption claimed and is a material to the decision that you made. Finally, the petitioner hasn't pointed to or satisfied the grounds for reconsideration. There's reference 4-181A and those two prongs of it. Petitioner doesn't point to an error of fact or law in the decision that should be corrected or state other good cause. So therefore, my recommendation is that you deny the petition. And I'll just say for the record, I believe the hearing officer is available. She's not physically present here with the commission's offices, but she is available should you have any questions for her. My recommendation at this time would be to deny the petition.
Do any of the commissioners have any discussion regarding the motion to reconsider?
Well, Commissioner Streeter here. So I know there's a petition. If it was a motion to reconsider, that would be an action of the commission. This is, sounds like we're, if we either take action on the to deny the petition, or we just don't do anything because we don't take the action of moving to reconsider. Because reconsider under Robert's Rules of Order would be that we need a majority to vote to reconsider. So by doing nothing, we're basically not reconsidering. So I just want to, point of order, what it is we're going to be voting on.
Well, I think it's true that if you take no action, the petition is effectively denied.
I was just asking, so if I were to make a motion, would it be the motion to deny the petition, or to basically, or do we not have to take it again?
I would prefer that you take take a vote to either deny or grant the petition based upon how you feel about it.
Okay, I would be in favor of voting to not hear the petition. I'll hear what the other commissioners have to say.
Any of the other commissioners have any questions or any comments?
This is Commissioner Hankins. I'm sorry, this is Commissioner Hankins. I'm going to concur with Commissioner Streeter.
Anyone else?
Commissioner Winkler, I agree.
Well, for purposes, I guess, of discussion, I'll move that we deny the petition for reconsideration. Again, Commissioner Streeter.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. All right. Any discussion regarding the motion or the petition? Any further discussion? And Colleen, the petition to reconsider must be based on new evidence, is that correct? Or an error in fact or law?
Not, Colleen Murphy, not new evidence, Mr. Chairman, but you're correct, an error of fact or law has been made in the decision, that the decision is based on an error, where there's an error of fact or law, and that needs, the statute says should be corrected.
Thank you, and your recommendation is that there's no error in fact or law?
That's correct.
Thank you.
This is Commissioner Chabay. Mr. Chairman, the petition also does indicate that the reconsideration is sought for good cause, for other good cause shown, as an alternative to a showing of an error of fact of law that should be corrected. So I just want to clarify that for you from the petition.
Thank you.
And Commissioner Streeter again, I know that under like Robert's rules and other, you know, boards and commissions, if we were to do a vote of reconsideration, it could be for new evidence, but under our rules, we don't even allow new evidence brought forward, you know, for our discussions. So at this case, that wouldn't be a available route to get more. If there was new evidence, it wouldn't have been allowed anyway, because we wouldn't have allowed it at the previous hearing where we voted on it.
Commissioner Fusashi? I'm struggling with this decision because I've read both of these filings carefully, and I note that they're not arguable, but a very strong recommendation on the legal points has been made by our counsel. I do feel that it was important that Attorney Miller make the points he made, and I'm struggling whether there is a disparity of fact between the hearing, because we adopt the hearing officer's report as our report. I'm reluctant personally yet to adopt it. So because of the precedent that we were trying to evaluate as to sufficiency of contact, not negotiating, but sufficiency of contact with a specific company, and the Attorney Miller's filing goes through A, B, C, each of the redactions. It's not that this is about redactions. It's about the redaction of a name of a company. And that's what we're really narrowly dealing on as a precedent for future in business development. So I'm personally quite reluctant on a very important issue of the name of the company. And he went through specifically ABC. I appreciate the points made by Attorney Rennie and his more global analysis of the situation, other issues about freedom of information, all important points. But the narrow issue in my mind is that, and therefore I'm reluctant to conclude based on the specific comments that the hearing officer made during our last discussion, and now these very specific ABC examples being cited. I'm confused a little bit as to whether there is or is not a dispute about facts of the specific issue of were there named companies and were the names of the companies was sufficiently mentioned of companies who were in contact with, or not who brought the contact, but who were in contact with. So that's just my, I'm struggling with the technical place we are. I do take the legal advice very seriously of our counsel.
further discussion? Right.
This is Commissioner Chavez. I'm sorry. I just wanted to return to this question of new evidence, which under 4181A, there could be a petition for reconsideration sought on the basis of new evidence. That's not one of the grounds the state is arguing here, as far as I'm reading their petition. So the potential for new evidence is not on the table here, based on the state's submission. And Mr. Chairman, I know, as Attorney Murphy said, that it is not typical for there to be argument, and the parties have been so advised. I know the parties are here, and I don't know if they're prepared to say something, and but if they were, I personally would certainly be open to what the parties have to say, especially in light of what Commissioner Fideschi said. Our aim is to get this right, and because the parties are here, if they were prepared to say something, and if you were to invite to say something, I would be open to hearing.
Excuse me.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Colleen Murphy. Yes, I think that would be fine. You know, the message is given typically to the parties that these matters are not arguable, but it's certainly at the discretion of the commission to afford that opportunity should the parties wish for it. So I'm in support of that.
So procedurally, we have a motion and a second, and we're in the middle of discussion. What should we do? Should we entertain a motion to allow them to argue?
I don't personally think that that's necessary, Mr. Chairman. I suppose the motion could be withdrawn for now and allow the parties to speak and then go back and put a new motion on the table. You want to do it that way? I don't think you need a specific motion to permit argument.
So, but we wouldn't need the commission, the entire commission to allow or disallow?
Mr. Streeter might be trying to speak.
Mr. Chairman, I believe in the past we have had votes from the commission to allow, whether or not to allow participation. I don't see the need for it, and I don't particularly wouldn't want to rescind my motion that's sitting on the floor, or that's before us at this time. But if the majority of the commissioners vote that way, then I have no issue with that. At least allowing them to speak, but I don't see any reason for it.
So Attorney Murphy, if Attorney Chavez wants to make a motion, Attorney Streeter would have to withdraw his motion first, and Attorney Winkler would withdraw her second, and then allow Commissioner Chavez to make her motion. Is that correct?
Well, to be perfectly honest, not completely expert on Robert's rules or what guides us on this front, but I think leaning this way would be for a withdrawal of the motion so that there could be room made for this other motion, if that's the way you want to go.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Street, I think that you would probably have to have a vote and then have the vote fail to as far as the, and then we'd have to reconsider that vote. So if we took
you have
a vote,
to have the vote on this?
Yeah, if we took the vote to, to deny the petition, and if that failed, and then there could be, additional discussion, and then we could always reconsider that vote to deny the petition.
This is Commissioner Chavez. Would it be possible, as part of our discussion of the pending motion, to ask the parties some questions and ask them to respond as part of the discussion on the pending motion?
This is Commissioner Hopkins. I think that's a good idea. I mean, if we're going to discuss the motion, I think we could just have the parties talk too.
But we haven't taken a vote to reconsider. We would need to take a vote to reconsider to even talk about this. Procedurally, there isn't with no action, so we cannot even discuss it until you have a vote to reconsider. procedurally. Right now, we, it needs a vote of the commission to reconsider and then allow them to speak. Right now, we're talking parliamentarianism that you're trying to jump ahead to allow them to basically reconsider the motion without reconsidering the motion.
I would say that the petition is what is before you, and that there can be argument on whether to grant or deny the petition. So I think that is a viable matter that you don't necessarily need to grant or deny before hearing from the parties.
Thank you, Attorney Murphy. Attorney Murphy, Mr. Chavez asked a good question. Can we ask the parties questions? Can the commissioners ask the parties questions during the middle of their discussion?
I think you can do that. That there's prohibition against doing that.
All right. Do the commissioners wish to speak about that, Commissioner Streeter?
Right now, the only thing before us is the motion to deny the petition. That's why I asked the question earlier, because it sounds like we're basically reconsidering it without having a vote of the commission to reconsider. So the only thing before us is to deny the petition. If you want, there's no rules, Robert's Rules of Order or petitions. So I think it's a sort of a backdoor way to get discussion before us by saying that we're dealing with a petition. They're basically asking us to reconsider, and the only thing we really can do is to reconsider or not reconsider.
This is Commissioner Winkler, and I do agree with what's being said. We did dispose of this particular piece of this issue before us in the past, so therefore we really cannot reconsider it without taking it back on.
Attorney Murphy?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
I think what you were trying to explain is that the only thing that we could ask questions about is the petition itself. We're not going to entertain argument on the reconsideration. We're entertaining argument on the petition itself, which is, did Attorney Miller satisfy the legal requirements of demonstrating an error in fact or law? Am I correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And I asked you whether Commissioner Chavez's request could be honored, which was, could she ask a question of Attorney Miller or Attorney Rennie? And your answer is, you think she can?
Yes, I believe she can.
Okay. And so I just asked Commissioner Streeter, does that clarify the issue?
It doesn't clarify the issue, but I think, that's what the, commission wants to do. I'm not going to be withdrawing my motion, because I think the motion before us is what we're talking about. And it sounds like, there's going to be, I'm just nervous that you're going to go far afield of what we are going to go far afield of what basically taking up reconsideration that hasn't been voted on.
Okay. But Commissioner Murphy, you think that we can ask the parties questions focused only on the petition itself and demonstrating an error in fact or law? Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct.
I would hear from the other commissioners, but I would allow that if Commissioner Chavez has questions for the parties. Does anyone have any objection to me allowing? I think I have the ability to allow that. And if the other commissioners say no, I'm willing to listen, but I think it's a reasonable request of Attorney Chavez.
I would urge you, Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Fuseschi, to allow it and move forward.
Anybody else? All right. I think we'll just allow Commissioner Chavez to ask questions about the petition itself, not about the entire reconsideration of the matter, but the petition itself and whether it was demonstrated error of fact or law. It needs to be addressed by this commission. Go ahead, Commissioner Chavez.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The specific question I would ask of Attorney Miller is, he heard Attorney Murphy's recommendation to deny the petition, which really grew from the statutory exemption language, and I guess I'd like to know how Attorney Miller responds to that.
Yes, this is Attorney Miller. So I can speak, Mr. Chairman.
Attorney Miller?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I'll try to address that. I apologize. I was not actually ready to make a bit of comments today, but I'm happy to. So I think so you're right. I think what you said is there are three things that we have to demonstrate here. Commercial financial information, I don't think that's in dispute. Not required by statute, that's actually never been addressed by the hearing office. So we're just talking about the given and confidence problem. What I thought the hearing officer said at the hearing, and I tried to quote her verbatim, was that there was not evidence of negotiations. And had there been evidence of negotiations, it might have had it reached a different result. And here's what she specifically said. And I just said, if there had been evidence that the state was actually in negotiations with a company, I think that we might have gotten a different result. And I know, let me read before she said, I think that if there had been testimony, there were pending economic deals very similar to the first five initiative. I don't think it even needed to rise to the level of the first five initiative. But if there had been evidence that there were, that the state was actually in negotiations with a company, I think there that we might have gotten a different decision. So if you go back to the decision of the first five companies, there's actually no direct testimony that we were in ongoing negotiations. All we know is that some companies contacted the governor's office. That's all we know. We don't know how far it proceeded. Maybe we saw the names of the company and didn't do a thing about it. So the extent of the evidence of the five company was companies did contact the state. That's the extent of the evidence in the record, at least that's in the hearing officer's report. So what I tried to do is I tried to address that comment that the hearing officer made. And I think the best way to show it is we had two quotes that I believe I gave you from Attorney Rennie, where he asked questions on cross-examination, were the negotiations ongoing? And Attorney Zelina testified both times, at least at the time the request was made, yes, the negotiations were ongoing. He wasn't quite sure of the status of them at the time of the hearing, but when they at least were made. So, I mean, that, I think, is the evidence I was trying to bring forward, and I have others too, that there were clearly negotiations ongoing. So now if you go back to the question, the name given in confidence, that is the testimony that I think has been acknowledged by the hearing officer, that Attorney Galena testified that it's the custom and the tradition when doing pending economic development deals, both sides know you keep the names private. And that was the exact same finding that was made in the first five decisions as well. So what I was trying to do in the motion for reconsideration is address the hearing officer's concern, which I thought it was that I didn't know that I don't have evidence that we're currently like really negotiations between two parties ongoing. And I think all the testimony I laid out, especially that example from Attorney Delina, where he said, yeah, the negotiations were ongoing, at least at the time the request came in. And in addition to the fact that there was a one company that actually had an email with the companies, in the email address, you could see, soandso.com. You could see that there was an email actually between the state officials and people on the governor's economic development team and that company. So that is the evidence I was trying to point out. I hope I answered your question.
Yes, thank you.
Any other questions, Mr. Chavez?
Will I be permitted to respond?
I believe that was Mr. Rennie speaking. I don't need Mr. Rennie to hear your response. I think I'm all set at this point. Thank you.
Do any of the other commissioners have questions for?
May I just add for the record, this is highly unusual. I'll just add that.
Do any of the other commissioners have any questions for for Attorney Rennie or Attorney Miller? I do have one question then. Attorney Rennie, how would you respond to Attorney Miller's last response?
Well, I would respond, first of all, that negotiations, use negotiations and pursuit as synonyms in this argument, and that they're not the same. Certainly in matters of public policy, they're not the same. And I would also mention, and Attorney Miller never mentions this, these are not emails between negotiators. These are emails from outside parties shared with someone, at least one person in the governor's office. And the references to whatever's behind those redactions are almost entirely from outside parties who are not negotiators, who, as far as we know, have no relationship to whatever companies the new administration may have been interested in trying to entice to Connecticut or to expand in Connecticut. But these are not negotiators. These are outsiders who appear to have some information, but they are not acting on behalf of the state of Connecticut or on behalf of any company that the administration was pursuing.
Thank you. Do any of the other commissioners have any questions of either Attorney Miller or Attorney Rennie? Do any of the other commissioners have any comments or questions of the commission or Attorney Murphy?
I have just one more comment, if we're still in the discussion phase here, or if we're not, then I will withhold my
question.
My worry here is that we have elevated by this very in-depth discussion over the last several months this first five initiative precedent, but we have not clarified what that precedent is. Because if we accept and move forward with the way it is now, with the record the way it is now, I would not be able to give you an interpretation of what that precedent is that we are setting. And that is bothering. We have, with the hearing officer's comments on the record and the discussion on the record of what her judgment, and we are adopting her for that hearing officer's report, I am confused as to what we have done or what we would have done as setting new precedent on the first five initiative case. And that, to me, is what is troubling me.
Any further comment or discussion from any of the commissioners?
Mr. Chairman, may I respond? This is Kathleen Ross.
Yes.
Hi. So I understand, I think, the question you're asking, Commissioner Fusashi. So I think whether or not there were negotiations is not really what's at issue here. That's not what the exemption turns on. And I think to continue to focus on whether there were negotiations and also the given in confidence portion of that prong is to really overlook the term given in confidence. So really what was lacking in this case was evidence that the names were given to the state. So although there was some testimony about negotiations, that testimony, first of all, was provided by counsel to the governor, not by anyone in the governor's office who was a member of their economic development team, who could have provided perhaps the evidence that I felt is needed to satisfy this prompt. So I don't know if that answers your question a little bit. In other words, it doesn't matter whether there was evidence of negotiations or not, testimony about negotiations or not. The issue here is whether the respondents offered evidence that the names were given in confidence. And I don't think just saying in a conclusory fashion, assertions of counsel, that there were negotiations, when I think the in-camera records don't support that. There was nothing to back up that assertion. I think doesn't get you there. It doesn't prove that exemption or that prong of the exemption.
Thank you, Kathleen. Is there any further questions or comments?
This is Commissioner Chavez. I'll just say that I wanted to hear what the state's lawyer, Mr. Miller, had to say about the general counsel's recommendation that we deny the petition for reconsideration, which is a very narrow ground upon which to move. And I appreciate what you said, Mr. Miller, but going directly to the language of the requirement for a petition for reconsideration, which is to show an error of fact or law that should be corrected. I don't believe that very narrow standard has been met here through your writing and through the response that you gave today, which I was glad to hear, but I don't view the state to have met its heavy burden here.
Thank you. Is there any further comment or questions from the commission?
Hi, this is Commissioner Fusashi. I take Commissioner Chavez's point, and I think it's a very important point. What bothers me is the situation we're in, where we are going to adopt a record, which to me is quite confusing, but I believe the burden of proof point is a significant, it is probably the decisive point here, but I'm disappointed that on such an important issue for the future, we may have not moved forward the thinking that created some confusion, and that's why I am so hesitant to deny this petition and move forward. But I take your burden of point, proof point, very seriously.
Anything further? All right. I'll call a roll call on the motion by Commissioner Streeter, seconded by Commissioner Winkler, to deny the respondent's petition for reconsideration. So this is a vote on the motion to deny the respondent's petition for reconsideration. Please state if you're in favor of denying the petition. Chavez.
I'm in favor of denying the petition for reconsideration.
Mr. Einhorn.
Yes.
Mr. Fusashi.
Yes, based on the issue of what is necessary for reconsideration. So yes, based on that ground, not on the law made perspective of this case, based on that ground.
Thank you. Commissioner Hankins.
Yes, I'm in favor of denying the petition.
Thank you. Commissioner Streeter.
Yes.
Commissioner Winkler.
Yes.
And Owen Egan, yes. In favor of denying the petition to reconsider. All right. Thank you, Attorney Rennie. Thank you, Attorney Miller. With that, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda. Attorney Murphy.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Colleen Murphy again. The next item is report on pending appeals. No report at this time. Item number 5, Executive Director's Report on status of commission operations during the pandemic. I and Mary have been meeting with our reopening FOI team here at the commission, and
think we're moving in the direction of holding off on scheduling in-person hearings and meetings at this time as we watch what is happening in terms of the variant that is out there and some numbers going up. Our thinking is that we'll probably revisit this probably late September and see if we can move forward in October with full-blown in-person commission meetings and hearings. That's not to say potentially some commissioners who might want to come in and act as hearing officer and serve in the role that our senior attorneys have been doing during the pandemic, conduct the proceedings remotely, but here at our commission offices, so we will probably look to do that. And second, we are looking to potentially get some more support to be able to conduct hearings in two different locations at one time. So although we'll be doing things remotely, we hope that we can pursue our DACA a little more aggressively. So that would be, I think, a plus, looking at resources and making sure that we can invest in the technology to do that. And at this time, I don't see it as a big issue, but I also want to thank that team that I've been working with collaboratively from the very beginning here, and it's Mary, and then Matt, and Alicia, and Danielle have all been really, really working on this, as I said, from the beginning, looking at what is happening in courts and other agencies that conduct proceedings in a somewhat similar fashion. And we're going to keep monitoring that, but at this time, I think we're going to hold off on those in-person proceedings for a little while longer.
Thank you.
The next status of relocation of commission offices, I think I'll officially take that off of our agenda for next time, because it looks like we're here and we're staying here. Probably not too much new report on that. On the staff report, I believe we're either about to conduct or have already started conducting first round interviews for our staff attorney 2 position. We got a very good number of applicants for that and some very promising candidates for that. And let's see, legislative report. Paula is here in the office with me shaking her head saying no legislative report, so we'll spare you on that. And then new business, the no new business at this time. So that's it.
Thank you. I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Streeter, I move we adjourn.
Second that, Commissioner Winkler.
I'll take a full call of those in favor of adjourning. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Fusashi?
Yes.
Mr. Nankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler? Yes. And Owen Egan, yes. We're adjourned. Thank you, everyone. I appreciate your hard work and your patience.
Thank you, everyone.
Take care.
Time now is 3:07 p.m.